That was awesome. Come on. World changers, worship warriors, they were all up here. Gotta love it. So cool. When they do the dance, when they sing, woo! You can see them up on the platform and in the nations. I noticed you put away the cell phones, though. I thought you might want to use those when I came to the podium, but guess not. Put them all away. Yeah. Nobody's taking movies and pictures now. Father, we open up our hearts to you. The kids with their open hearts to worship you, to sing for you, to dance for you, Lord. May we be just as willing with childlike hearts to worship you, to adore you, Lord, to step out for you, to learn from one another and to join together with each other. Lord, we pray that we will learn the lessons of this season of the year. Sacrifice. The treasure of Jesus, the humility of Mary and Elizabeth. God, we can learn so much. Bring these truths to our heart in a new way. Been so many Christmas seasons that have passed, and maybe we haven't learned all the lessons. We haven't learned how you come close to man. Through Emmanuel, God with us. You don't just come close, you are willing to live inside of us if we'll invite you to come in through the door of our heart. God, it's very simple, just like a child. We can open the door to our heart to you today, this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's still morning by 1 minute, unless you have a clock that's a little fast. Well, we have a quote for today that will start us off. If you cannot be in oneness agreement with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you will not be one in unity with other believers. If we're not lined up with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with heaven, there's no way that we can be lined up with one another. That should make sense. Can you shake your heads if it makes sense? Because if it doesn't, it will, hopefully, after the message. You know, today I played the guitar, and hopefully most of it was in tune. Blew out a string during practice, so you put that guitar to the side and you pick up another guitar. The guitar is an interesting instrument. Because it goes out of tune with the atmosphere. So taking it out in the cold, a day like today or just a couple days ago, it was so cold. If you take that guitar out into the cold, it responds to it because it's wood. And so it goes out of tune. It doesn't like the cold. Maybe some of you don't like it. You might go out of tune when the cold comes. And when the rain on top of the cold and the ice in the parking lot, you're completely out of whack. We put three loads of salt down. Did you notice the salt? Probably not. You noticed the slip instead. But the guitar. Okay, so it's wood, and so it responds to the atmosphere. So when you bring it in, you're supposed to keep it in the case. It likes to stay nice. In the case until it warms up to the atmosphere in the room, and then hopefully you can put it in tune. And this little gizmo here is so cool. They didn't have these when I first started playing guitar. You put it on the end here, you turn it on, it has a nice little screen for you. You turn on the guitar or the tuner, and it responds to the vibrations in the wood of the guitar. And so you just put it on the end here, and it actually will put the strings in tune according to the vibrations as the strings work with the wood and they reach this little instrument. So when I go up there at the beginning, I try to make sure that it is in tune. There's always one that doesn't cooperate very well. So then when you play the guitar, it all sounds like it's working together, and it's blending. It's in unity of sound. But let's just say that something went wrong. Something went really wrong. It's only two strings. There's six of them. Beautiful. For Christmas carols. Joy to the world. Doesn't work too well. Out of tune. And so, of course, we'd have to spend time tuning it up again for it to sound proper, to work together, to be harmonized, to be fully and completely in unity. You know, when it came to the Christmas story, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I was thinking about this. Mary, Joseph, shepherds, angels, wise men, a star, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, were all on the same page, in agreement. They were working on a Passover. Now, here's the Passover. A different kind of Passover. It was the Passover of the most precious treasure in history, passing from heaven to earth, the most vulnerable treasure, Jesus in baby. Jesus as a baby. Can you imagine the Father developing this plan in his heart? Yeah, I will take all of the Godhead and eternity, put it inside of a baby, and transfer it into human hands. They're trustworthy. They can take care of my baby that is part of the Godhead, that is God, a baby in the hands of two human parents, that is God. You see the risk? Do you see any risk in that? He was trusting us not to screw that up. And he brought all those elements I mentioned in alignment at the same time, and they all work together. You know, people say, well, I don't know if I believe in angels. Mary did. Shepherds did. There was a lot of angelic activity. And, you know, you kind of read over it a little bit, and you see these little guys up here in angel outfits, and you go, oh, that's so cute. So cute. Oh, so cute sitting on the floor in an angel outfit. But angels are messengers of God. They make sure things are lined up on the earth. They give out messages that God tells them to give out. And they gave them out to Mary and the shepherds and others. and told them how to line up heaven and earth. So it was all in alignment so this treasure from heaven could be given into human hands. And we were entrusted with the best that heaven had to offer. It could have been you, Mary. It could have been you, Joseph. You could have been in that position 2,000 years ago, entrusted with eternity in the form of a baby. Incredible. A moment in history where the New and Old Testaments were brought together. Heaven and earth were in complete harmony and unity. And the world, maybe Herod, the flesh, Herod, and others, and the devil were powerless to stop it. When alignment is with heaven, the enemy can't stop that. When the angels come and say, this is what's going to happen, how much can the devil mess with that? Can't. There's too much unity, too much alignment going on for the enemy to touch it. You know, when we go on a mission trip, we have a special bag. And we call that bag the football. That was kind of after something that happens with the president. You know, the nuclear codes, the football, and a certain secret agent. Not secret agent. What do they call those guys? Secret service agent. Is in charge of making sure that the football is near the president. And we have a football when we go on a mission trip. Normally I'm the one that carries it. It has the monies for the mission trip that we need overseas, because you don't just go to an ATM in Ghana. You don't just run down and, oh, we'll just pop this credit card out and it'll work. So you have to carry most of the monies that you need, and then you go to the northern part of the country with these monies in a bag. And there are lots in there because sometimes you have many, many people on the trip that need to be taken care of and fed and transportation, and on it goes. Sometimes they have to pass the football off because they have to do a special something over here. And so I'll say, watch the football. And there are a couple of people on the team that know what that means, and they're usually the ones put in charge of that. And then they feel the responsibility of that treasure that we need for the team to, you know, have food, transportation, housing, things like that, while we're on the mission. And, you know, we laugh about it, but we all take it very serious. And we don't give it to a rookie that comes to the team. We don't say, hey, why don't you watch this special bag?
What's so special about it?
Well, we can't tell you. But it's a very special bag, so you watch it. What's in it? I really can't go into that right now. We don't usually give that to a rookie. But God did. Mary was a rookie. Joseph was a rookie. And God just spoke to them and entrusted alignment from heaven, angels, the star, wise men, and Jesus kind of into their hands. This is all going to work. And they really didn't have a clue what was going on. Do you know he'll do the same for us? He'll entrust Jesus in us if we can come to a place of unity with heaven and earth and unity with one another. He'll entrust Jesus to us in a special way. Maybe you've heard it up here from the front, or you've heard it in a conversation. Someone will say, I think I heard this from the Lord. And they'll speak it out, and you're just like, that certainly sounds like it's from the Lord. Now, isn't it interesting that God occasionally, maybe a little more than occasionally, will send angels today, yes, today, to people and give them a message. But more often, he's going to trust you to receive a message from him. Sometimes very directly. And then he'll entrust you sometimes with that message to give it to somebody else, to encourage them, lift them up, set the tone for what's going to happen in ministry plans, all kinds of things. The Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, was vulnerable as a baby, and he was passed over into human hands by a Father who trusts us when we are aligned with his purposes. When we decide to be aligned with heaven, that's when you get the good stuff. You want to play around on the edges? You don't get the good stuff. You say, well, why is that person always hearing from God? They're always hearing from God. They're always saying they're hearing from God. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just making it up. You're probably on the edge. You're probably on the edges. Because you would know. See, Mary didn't question, so she wasn't struck dumb. Zacharias questioned, and he was struck dumb. He couldn't speak. Some of us, if we don't align with heaven, we're kind of struck dumb. We really can't speak the things of God because we're not hearing them. You have to come into alignment and unity with heaven. And then unity with one another works. Unity with heaven precedes, is the preface, is the prerequisite for coming into alignment as a body. So you can see why there are so many church splits. People don't understand what's going on in the vision of a place or whatever, and, you know, right down the middle sometimes, there's a split instead of unity, which Jesus called us to many times. So Christmas is a great time to talk about unity because the events and characters of Christmas were on God's page and were in complete unity, and the enemy was a side issue. Yes, he tried to stir up some problems, Herod with killing all those 2 years and less. Tragic, terrible. But it didn't affect God's plan through the Savior. Let's turn to John 17, where Jesus talks about this kind of unity. Prays for us. Just want to read a few passages, and then we'll finish up with some thoughts on unity. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and your Son also may glorify you, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, they have kept your word. Kind of. You know, you think of the disciples. They have kept your word. Well, kind of. If you think of Peter. Kind of. But he gave them credit. He gave them credit because they had hearts after Jesus. Think of that. Grace and mercy is in his prayer already for them. They were not perfect, and yet he says, they've kept your word. Incredible. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and you have believed, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Hello, that's you. That's me. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Heaven is in complete agreement, in complete alignment. It is up to us to align with heaven, and then we can be in unity with one another. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Wow. He loves us like he loves Jesus. If anyone is questioning that your Father in heaven loves you, there's no question. He loves you like he loves Jesus. You can get the full benefit of that if you believe. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you have sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is a unity message that Jesus is praying over us. You know, Jesus is praying for you right this moment in heaven. Praying for you. He's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. What's he interceding? One of the things he's interceding is that you would be in him, and he in you, and you in the Father, and you in the Holy Spirit. And he's praying for that. And he's also praying that we would be one. We would have such a close unity, there wouldn't be any fractures in it. There wouldn't be someone saying, I don't know about that, Pastor Bill. I don't know if he did it. There wouldn't be that, because you'd already know. Pastor Bill knows he's imperfect. But Pastor Bill's heart's after Jesus, and he doesn't want to hurt you or control you or take any, you know, thing out of your arsenal. He wants to add to it. He wants to bring to it so that you go after your destiny in Jesus and fulfill it. Let's read Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One. What do you think's on God's heart? Oneness. Oneness with Him, oneness with heaven, oneness with each other. Colossians 3. Verses 8 through 17. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. There are no worldly divisions. A verse in Galatians, no male or female, no division. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We're going to have to bear with one another, forgive one another, love one another, if there's going to be more unity. And obviously, it starts with loving the Father, worshiping Him more, drawing close to Him, and then the unity is something that He gives as a gift. Here you go. Because you love me so much, you can love others. Here you go. Here's your gift. Unity. Unity. You know, when we're singing with our whole hearts together in worship, there's such unity. It shakes the earth. It shakes the earth from the worship that we're willing to raise up to heaven and come in alignment with. He is worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all. It shakes the earth. Oh, you can't see it because it's in the spirit. But I'm telling you that the worship doesn't just stay in this building. I said, the worship doesn't just stay in this building. Okay, you're getting into the weird stuff now. The word of God goes forth, and it can't be held back when we're so unified in speaking it out. That's why when we go into a nation like Ghana, small team of five, what can they do? and signs and wonders and healings and crazy stuff happens, and witches are swirling around, and people who have been, bothered by witches are swirling around in our meetings. What's going on? The Word of God is just too powerful for the world of Satan and his little demoniacs. It's too powerful. And so they react. The people that are affected by these things, they react to that power. It's not that with them swirling around and them rolling on the ground and all of that, that shows, oh, the enemy has more power. No. It's the power of God, the alignment with heaven, showing that Jesus is so worthy. We're willing to go to northern Ghana in a Muslim area, speak his word out, and the world of Satan and his demons are shaken. Shaken. It gets serious when there's so much unity. It gets serious for the other side. We've seen a man that cast curses on us that we believe, okay, he's getting to the weird stuff, that it was part of us getting malaria.
Oh, I thought that came from a mosquito. Oh, I got malaria.
You need to realize in the spirit there are powerful things going on. The enemy tries to come against God's anointed. And so when someone casts a curse on you, it's not just a, oh, well, that doesn't work. It works to some degree, and then God says, no more, and he turns it around. If you believe, he's more powerful than what Satan can do to any person. Think of what that means in this country. There are people here, people in this country, they don't even believe in Satan. They don't believe in God or the power of the devil. How can they battle that? Well, if you know Jesus enough, if you go after his heart enough, you're going to also see the power of the enemy come against you. And maybe you'll recognize it then. But it doesn't even compare. It doesn't even compare. And when we're in unity as a body, the enemy starts to flee. He starts to get shaken. The world and the flesh, they start to get shaken when the church is in unity. So if we get reaction from them, you can't preach about this, that, and the other, and you can't do this, and you must accept this, and you must allow this sin to be part of what you do, what you say, what you accept. We just know that the anointing on the church because of unity is increasing, and the world is getting afraid. It's becoming afraid of us. It's not the time to back off. It's the time to press forward in unity, in oneness, towards the enemy. But believe me, as Galatians 6:2 says, we're going to have to bear one another's burdens. If you think that no one cares about your burdens, then offer yourself for prayer. And you'll see that people do. Some people have silent burdens. They won't share them with the body. They don't allow the oneness to work on it. Oh, I lost my job. I don't want to tell anybody in the church because, everybody else has jobs because God blessed them. But I don't want to tell anybody in the church that I lost my job because everybody else is more blessed. Or some other strange thing that you would think. I don't want to tell them about my physical situation. They might not think I have enough faith. Okay, This is the deal. Tell us. Tell us so we can bear your burdens as a body. When someone is sick, tell us so we can pray for you with the power of Jehovah Rapha that comes because of the unity of the body. But part of that unity has to do with you saying, here I am, I'm weak at this moment. And then we can come and lift you up. We can encourage you. Well, I'm struggling with this. Tell us. So the unity, the power of the unity of the body can help you. Don't keep things a secret that you're struggling with. Let someone in the body know. Well, I only know one person here very well, and let them pray for you. You don't have to, you know, come to some stranger that you don't know in here. Come to someone you know. Start with that. But if you know a bunch of people in here, you have a lot of options. Grab the one closest to you and say, pray for me. Man, this Christmas season is just, you know, taking something out of me, or blah, 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 blah. Thousand things. And don't be embarrassed by weakness. I would tell you, Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. And God transformed him because he was willing to speak it out. I have weakness. I was a fool for turning in Christians. I was a fool for being a religious wacko. I should have gone after Jesus. But I didn't, so I'm the chiefest of sinners. Just let your weaknesses be known. No one of the right heart, of the unified heart, of the heart lined up with heaven is going to sit there and say, well, I'm better than you. I never have a problem. Never comes near me. Nope, 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 nope. I would hope that would never happen in this place. You know, years ago, I gave a message, and we had a circle around this church. And all we said was, if you want to be part of the unity in this body, join the circle. It was during, you know, time like this when we met. Join this circle. And, you know, if you believe kind of in sons and daughters of the faith, things like that, you know, that type of relationship that builds you up and strengthens you in your faith and all that, hey, just join the circle. We're not pressuring anyone. We're not, you know, going to put any more pressure on you if you join this circle. That was a message, I think, about son, being a son or daughter in the faith or something like that. And you know, most people, they just jumped up, they jumped into the circle, they felt good about it, and so on. But we found out later that there were some people that said, I was afraid to join that circle. Afraid. Because I felt that if I joined that circle, you would somehow control my life. Control your life, control my life. If I came into that circle, you never know what you would do to my life. That kind of fear is in people about unity. You know, most places you go, if you go to National Day of Prayer, they talk about unity. I mean, speaker after speaker. We need to have more unity in the body of Christ. We do. We really do. So we need to work together. But when you try to work together, there seems to be a problem often. People have their turfs in the body of Christ. People have their ground that they've staked out, and they think you're going to take it from them. They think if you're a radical body of believers that you're going to somehow grab believers from them and bring them over to your little spot on the earth. That doesn't bring a lot of unity. So, you know, some people take disunity as a badge. Yeah, I'll speak unity, but I kind of like disunity. I like being a little in the corner, you know, talking about things so that it's get a little group that listens to me. I would say to you, for 2017, line up with heaven. You know, let's line up with heaven. We're all ones that have failed God to be unifiers to the max. But let's do it in 2017, see what happens. Because what happened with the Christmas time back then, 2,000 years ago, was absolutely incredible. All the people stepping into their role, being aligned with what God the Father had in mind for the earth, and they were entrusted with the treasure of Jesus right in their hands. They had to change his diapers. You know, they had him so vulnerable, but they treated him like he was the treasure that he was. And they received the wise men. Can you imagine somebody comes and knocks on, you know, your door? Because it was 2 years later. I don't know if you know that, but Jesus was about 2 years old when the wise men showed up. So all the pictures that you see are a little bit off because the wise men weren't around really when Jesus was born. But, you know, it took them a while to see the star, you know, get there, and it takes time. So about 2 years later, they show up, and he's in a house by that time, and they, you know, knock on the door. Oh, by the way, we have some frankincense, gold, and myrrh for this child that you have. How'd you know he had a child? Who are you people? You're dressed awfully funny. What land are you from? Oh, we're foreigners. You know, we're foreigners. We thought we'd show up at your door and bring frankincense, gold, and myrrh to your beautiful child, who is the Savior of the world, the King of kings, Lord of lords. And we thought we would bend our knee to him. And they opened the door to them and let them present to this treasure that they were entrusted with. They had to hear from God every step of the way. And God did it. He's going to do it with you. If you line up with heaven, with unity, he'll do it with you. You're going to hear his voice clearer. You're going to hear his voice, and you're going to ask some of the people next to you, is this really God? What do you think? You're going to get some counsel from the Word of God, from godly counsel, and you're going to know God spoke to you in 2017, that you've aligned with heaven. Unity takes alignment. Unity takes commitment and contending for it. We have to preserve the unity, it says. It's up to us. He gives it as a gift. We have to keep it going. We have to forbear with one another. We have to forgive one another. We have to love one another. Unity takes commitment and contending. Unity takes willingness to be misunderstood, hated, and despised by the world, sometimes even the church. Together. You know, we don't want anyone running for the doors when the leadership here is despised by someone else, by some other group, by the world. If the government, IRS, started knocking on our door and saying, hey, we don't think you're preaching the right stuff, are you going to head for the exits? Are you going to be in the fight? That's real unity. You're going to be in the battle and watch God turn that around. Joseph, shepherds, wise men, Mary, they were all lined up and willing to take it, whatever came their way. Remember, Joseph looked like he had committed fornication, and yet he stood with his betrothed. Once he knew it was God, he didn't care what everyone thought. Mary looked like, what happened to you, Mary? I mean, you're kind of getting big there. You're not married.
What's going on? Month after month goes by. Mary, you're not just gaining weight. What's going on? And she wouldn't, you know, keep it secret. She'd tell them. And they'd be like, so who's the husband? And they look over at Joseph. And he's like, wasn't me, wasn't me. Then who was it?
Holy Spirit. Right. Holy Spirit. Aha. Think of the despising they went through, the shaming in some corners. And yet they were willing to stand up with the alignment with heaven. They were knew it was God. And they were willing to take that in order to have the treasure in their hands. Incredible. Incredible. Unity takes forgiveness. Unity takes obedience to the sanctifying word, as it talks about in John 17. The word sanctifies us so that we can be in unity, so that we'll go after God's heart rather than just ours. You know, you go after your own heart's desires, you live a life. You know, kind of live a life, eat a lot of places, maybe do some things that are fun here and there, but it kind of just becomes the same old, same old. You do something with God, you're on an adventure. Hey, we're taking nations. Whoa, we're shaking the earth. Ho! You know, you get as crazy as Pastor Mary Pat. That's why I tried to get a little bit of, you know, jazz in it, because last week I was like in the front row going, whoa, whoa. Unity takes dependence on the Father and intercession. On Friday night, we had a time of intercession here for about 5 hours. And wow, it was awesome. It's kind of nice not to be in charge of that and just get a lot of it. You know, just woo. And so other people were in charge of it. So one of the people had us line up as a wall. You know, watchman on the wall. It's, you know, watch of the Lord. So we lined up, and they had us turn and put our hands on the shoulder of the person in front of us and pray out. Oh, man. I'll tell you, you do a wall like that with people, you know, with their hands, and they're praying out to God, and it's, you know, came near the end of the evening, so we're already jazzed. You know, if you're thinking of, you know, back when you were a child, the Wednesday night prayer meetings, that's not what we're talking about, if you haven't experienced the watch of the Lord. And so this just anointing came through, this Holy Spirit increase came through, and words were spoken out. And it was just such a cool unity. Something about, you know, just putting your hands lightly on someone's shoulder in front of you and praying into them. And wow. And then another person jumps up and says, I think we're supposed to make a tower, a strong tower around the pastors. Oh, man. They came in a circle around us and laid hands on us and prayed over us. And by the end, we were on the floor. And they were still praying for us and speaking into us and so on. And in those moments, there's such a sweet unity. Such a sweet, sweet unity. And the pastors are encouraged and built up. And the people around are encouraged and built up. And there's love flowing. I'm telling you, it's like a love pool. It's just like love flowing everywhere. And forgiveness, you could tell. And repentance, people realizing, oh my gosh, oh God, why am I not, why am, oh help, you know. I felt that, you know. God, help me. Help me to be the leader you want me to be. It's just me, Bill, Billy, Billy Goat Gruff, all those names from my past. It's just me. Son of a garbage man, what do I know? But you can bring everything we need to be in alignment with you. You can bring that unity that we need. So I was given, this is a gift on Father's Day. It's the Strong Tower of the Lord. And someone in this body, you can figure out who it is, produced this beautiful, beautiful picture of the Strong Tower. So I desire that you're in the middle of the Strong Tower. Not just this Christmas season, but all year long, all the time, inside the Strong Tower of the Lord. Because it says, run to it, and there'll be safety. And part of that has to do with unity. You know, you have safety in a body. If you go running off by yourself, you're just a liver out there flopping around in the snow. You know, because you're a body part in the body of Christ. You're just a liver out there flopping in the snow by yourself. A frozen liver. It's not any good. But when you're connected in, oh, amazing things can happen in your life, in other people's lives that you bless, and in the kingdom. You're building the kingdom. So enough said, but I just want to pray over you. Father, we just say, bring them in to the Strong Tower of your mighty name. Lord, bring them in to the Strong Tower of unity. More and more and more. We're not saying that there isn't any unity. What we're saying is they need an increase in it. I need an increase in it, Lord. Let them be watchmen on the wall, praying for, speaking into other people's lives here and other places. God, in the body of Christ, in the world, speaking out who Jesus really is without being ashamed. Being careful with that, that we don't dump the entire Bible on them next year and see what you do as we align with heaven's heart. Because you just kept saying in John 17, Lord, as you prayed over us, one, 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 one. Forget the sports arenas where they say such things. This is the kingdom. And we want to be one with you and one with each other. We give you praise, God. We release ourselves to you in this Christmas season, Father, to see all the revelation that's in the Christmas account. Not the Christmas story, the Christmas account. It actually happened. Angels came and gave messages and on and on and on. And they were all aligned with your heart. May we do the same. May each person here do the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.